We call it cheese at Wabash Youth. Three sons left home. Boy, this is hot.
Three sons
left home. They went out on their own. They prospered. They discussed the gifts they were able to give their elderly mother. The first said, "I built Mama a big house." The second said, "I sent her a Mercedes with a driver." The third said, "You remember how our mama enjoys reading the Bible. Now she can't see very well, so I sent her a remarkable parrot." If you remember my first time I talked to you, it was about a dog. This time it's a parrot. "I sent her a remarkable parrot that recites the entire Bible. It took elders in the church 12 years to teach him. Mama just has to name the chapter, name the verse, and the parrot recites it." Soon thereafter, their mother sent out her letters of thanks. "Milton," she said, "the house you built is so huge. I live only in one room, but I have to clean the whole thing. Gerald, I'm too old to travel. I stay most of the time at home, so I rarely use that Mercedes, and that driver is rude. He's a pain. But Donald," she said, "the little chicken you sent was delicious." Delicious. Okay, can you endure one more silliness? One more. And this is why. This one is for Scott. Scott, could you just, in case you don't know, all know Scott. Yesterday, Scott turned the big 5-0. Am I still your friend? This one's for Scott. Mom and Dad were trying to console Susie, whose dog, Skipper, had recently died. "You know," Mom said, "it's not so bad. Skipper's probably up in heaven right now having a grand old time with God." Susie stopped crying and asked her mother, "What would God want with a dead dog?" That was for Scott. I have been so blessed by Pastor's series on Galatians. Anybody? I have been so blessed. Somebody say amen to that. I love this series. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. This week I opened my inbox and I found a quote by Donald Miller. It's going to be up here. Let's read it. "It is not so much the aim of the devil to lure me with evil as it is to preoccupy me with the meaningless." Jesus plus nothing equals everything. How much time do we waste focusing on things that do not matter? I've been asking my Lord to bless me with an eternal perspective. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary." We focus on the temporal too much. We need to focus on the unseen, on the eternal. When life doesn't make sense, when you come up to real issues, I encourage you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I can't tell you how many times at funerals, sitting with people at times when God doesn't make sense, when there's pain, and I go to 2 Corinthians 4 and say, "Listen, let's focus on the eternal." In many ways, my heart, you all know this, is non-denominational. Anybody with me? You know this. Why else would this Assemblies of God ordained minister be working in a Presbyterian church? Truth is, it's always been my dream to reach across the little things that divide us. They really are little. But let me qualify. Truth is, I am so proud to be a part of Wabash when they stand up for the main thing. Anybody hear me? John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. I'm so proud to be a part of Wabash while they stand up for Jesus. But really, I don't care really much for man's religion. And I hope that doesn't offend you. I want a real relationship with Jesus. I want to know him. Someone said religion is man's attempt at God, but the gospel is God's attempt at man. I love that. How far God went. He put on skin and died on the cross so that we would know him. My message today is entitled, Lighten Up. Look at your neighbor, say, Lighten Up. Even poke them if you have to. Lighten up. Lighten up. Christians need to lighten up. Anybody with me? Christians, we often appear rather uptight. Sometimes I wonder if legalism doesn't do more damage to the Christian than sin does to the sinner. We are all simply sinners saved by amazing grace. Who knows about amazing grace? Please remember, Jesus was toughest on the religious crowd and friend to the sinner. So Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, I'm in love with the red letters in my Bible. I love it when it turns red in the Bible. Anybody with me? I love Jesus' words. Come to me, all you who are weary. Is that anybody here? Carrying heavy burdens. And I will give you rest. Everybody just breathe. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lighten up. First of all, how do we do this? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Sorry, I do that. That's how we do it. Did you see those words in we just read? Come, take, learn. People come to Jesus for many different reasons. Needing forgiveness, needing answers, needing healing, needing deliverance, needing salvation, needing eternal life, and the list could go on and on and on. Look at the New Testament, how the people just flocked to our Savior. Isn't it good to know that Christ says, you can come to me for rest? I know, release from stress, release from overload. I know this is what Jesus is saying to crazy, tired, frazzled, overcommitted American families. Am I talking to you? He promises rest for our souls. This is much deeper than physical rest. Most of us, our greatest problem is not overloaded muscles. I don't know about you, but I struggle with flab. It's our minds, our spirits, our emotions, our souls that need a release. A release from worry, tension, guilt. For far too long, the church has used an enemy of the tool. Guilt, fear, bitterness, anxiety. Who or what, let me ask you, do you naturally turn to when you get there? Be honest with me. When you're overloaded, when you're stressed, who or what do you naturally turn to when you are exhausted, depleted, and overloaded? Americans? Is your first choice Jesus? I hope so. That's the Sunday school answer. Jesus! If we're honest, too often we turn to food. Come on. You may not think I'm talking to myself here. Food is a big problem for me. At my worst, I was 315 pounds. Go back, if you don't believe me, go back on Facebook and look at some of my old pictures. Food is a big problem for me. Too many times I have turned to food when I should have been turning to Jesus. If we're honest, we turn to television. Man, the thing's on all the time to numb the brain so we don't have to deal with how we feel. Television, maybe a drink, maybe a pill, some other form of escape. Nothing in this world can give you true soul rest. Only God can give you new strength, supernatural help for the soul. How does he do that? Isaiah chapter 40, I love it. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. Have you been there? For us, it's like Jeff was talking about. It's walking around those mountains. This Saturday, the youth are going for a hike, and I said, Jerry, are we going to go up on a cliff with ice picks and flowing upside down with our hanging? And he said, no, this is on a scale from 1 to 5, this is a 2. So that's good, a 2. He said yesterday he did an 8, so I don't know what that means, scale 1 to 5. Can you say insane? This is exactly opposite of what the world teaches, though, isn't it? It seems that our society says, when you're empty inside, do more. But Jesus says it's not a matter of do, it's a matter of come. Doing versus being. And our pastor has eloquently addressed this several times. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Let's go there really quick. Here's what I want you to do. Again, red letters. Wake up. Jesus says, find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can, and the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. I love those words. Focus on them for a minute. That stuff gives me those goosebumpies. Doesn't it just make you breathe? No more pretending, no more acting. Take a deep breath. No more worrying about the green nose. That was for Wabash youth. Actually, another rabbit trail. I do this. I was talking to Janice before, and she said, now, you're everywhere when you talk. They were mentioning ADD. Hello. And I said, well, hopefully we'll be together. I'll yell something and we'll get it up there once in a while. If we're not together, oh well. Prayer meetings. Anybody been to a prayer meeting? We need to do them, right? Prayer meetings are important. I'm not speaking against them. I love them. We need prayer meetings. But they can get dangerous for this reason. I've been to a prayer meeting and left and realized I didn't talk to God at all. I just talked to the people there. While I was praying to God, I'm really talking to them. I'm role-playing. It can get dangerous. That's why Pharisaism. If you've been in the church longer than 3 minutes, you're going to struggle with Pharisaism. Okay, so why don't we come to Christ? Okay, see, I'm jumping around. First, we think we can handle it on our own. Wrong answer. Second, we often forget what God is really like. This is big for your neighbor. For the person who doesn't step foot in church, they don't realize that God is unconditional love. He's not waiting to scold them. I'll go to church after I get my life all fixed up. How many of you, your friends, have told you that? Come just as you are. We have to remember that what our God is really like, unconditional love. He's not waiting to scold us for all our wrongs. He's waiting to love us. That's the prodigal son. We need to come to our God like a little child, simply, and he will teach us how to really rest. This truly is the bottom line of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, more red letters, Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, I truly tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so what was the first point? I know I was everywhere. What was it? Turn to Jesus. The second one, give up control. It was up there, right? See, you messed me up when you did that earlier. Give up control. Submit. Surrender. Everybody say it with me. Let it go. That is one word. Let it go. I am amazed how God just takes every little thing when I let him. How he takes care of every little thing. My wife calls this fluffy land for me. I'm just waiting. I know God's going to just pop in and show me exactly what to do next. And she goes, waiting on fluffy land again. The greater your need to control things, the more your life will be prone to stress. Somebody needed to hear that this morning. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. That doesn't sound very relaxing, does it? Wait just a minute. Take my yoke upon you. Let's look at what a yoke is. My grandpa, Frank West, he wrote a manual and sold it in the Farmer's Almanac on how to train oxen. I remember riding in this old wagon pulled by Tom and Jerry, Grandpa's oxen, in the Rogue River Rooster Crow Parade. Anybody heard of the Rooster Crow Parade? I'm a small town boy from Rogue River, Oregon. I got a little bit of rogue in me. Anyway, in case you don't know, a yoke is a wooden beam that attaches two farm animals together to what? Lighten the load. So they can work together as a team. It's not a harness. You put a yoke over two oxen, so the burden is shared. The purpose is to make it easier for the animals. The load is halved, shared, lightened. Jesus is calling us to this kind of partnership. Can you grasp this with me? He's calling us to this kind of partnership with him and with one another. Psalm 55:22, pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. He'll help you out. In case you did not know, God has a stronger back than you do. Think about this. How amazing is it that the God of the universe is willing, even after becoming flesh, dying on a cross, to stick his head in a yoke with me? That is amazing. This really cranks my tractor, people. And it's really easy to just slip your head out of that yoke. I want you to remember, just Jesus, share this with me. It's as simple as that. You don't have to have this flower, thee, thou, thither prayer. Jesus, share this with me. It's very easy to get detached because our God is never going to infringe on free will. So consciously turn to Jesus. Give up control. It's simple to reattach a whispered prayer. I need you, Jesus. So this yoke is a symbol of partnership, but it is also a symbol of control. The farmer uses the yoke to guide, to direct. Ooh, get this. When I'm yoked with Christ, we move together in the same direction and at the same pace. If you are yoked, you can't go in a different direction than Jesus. It will hurt your neck. It will hurteth the necketh a lot. If you are yoked to Jesus, he sets the pace. Picture it with me. You're in the yoke, and you're going around and around and around Jesus. I've done that. Anybody else done that? Fast, 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 fast. We all need direction, but even more, we need a pace setter. We all have a tendency to go faster than we really should. Or maybe there's someone in this room that's going slower than they should. I don't know. Jesus knows better. The adequate, the accurate pace for your life. Again, in answer to that big how, Galatians 5:25, since we live in the Spirit, anybody living in the Spirit? Since we live in the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Following Jesus, step by step, moment by moment, day by day. Every day. And there it is again, that song. This, did I sing this for you last time? My mama used to sing it. Little by little, one step at a time, he's changing my heart and renewing my mind. Anybody? Did I do this last time? Teaching us how to be patient and kind, just little by little, one step at a time. I'm telling you, I'm the boy version of Mary Poppins. But it's that song right there, I can't tell you how many times my mama used to sing, but she sang it, little by little. That's how she sang it. But, and I loved it, and that stuck in my head, but that was another rabbit trail. Where was I? Day by day, moment by moment. Every day you have a choice. Every day I have a choice. My agenda or God's agenda. When you are yoked to Jesus, you're probably going to slow down considerably. Look at the Gospels. Jesus was never, never, never in a hurry. Even when his good friend Lazarus was dying 3 miles away, it took him 3 days to get there. The truth is, you are going to be yoked to something in life. It's just the way it is. We are all yoked to something. Maybe you're yoked to your career, your desire to acquire. Maybe you're yoked to the expectations of other people, and that's going to get you messy. I've been there. Jesus is saying, let it go. Take my yoke upon you. It's a lot lighter. It's a lot easier. And ooh, you got to get this. In the original Greek, that word easy means perfectly fitted. Yes, Lord. Now that I want to get a little Pentecostal when I see that. Let me tell you why you get overloaded. You're trying to do things you were never shaped to do. And I think you guys have been here before. Have you heard that wonderful Warren acronym, SHAPE? Remember this? S-H-A-P-E, no? Yes? God has wired you with certain spiritual gifts, a heart, abilities, personality, experiences. It's scary when we get out of where God has shaped us to be. God is creative. He made us all different on purpose. Stop trying to be what you are not. You need to take Jesus' yoke because it fits perfectly. I love that. Come, take, learn. And here's my third point. I'm being a good little preacher. 3 points. Learn to, well, it kind of. There was a lot of points in there between. Learn to what? Trust. Jesus said, learn from me, for I am gentle. I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Learning is a process. It takes time. Habits of a hurried and worried lifestyle don't go away overnight. It took you a few years to really get good at it. What did Jesus say? Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Let's think about those words for a minute. Gentle, humble, come, take, learn. Gentle, humble. We Americans, we want courage. We want stamina. We want confidence. We want strength, power, self-assurance, right? But God says you need to learn gentleness and humility. The two greatest causes of overload in your life, where you really need to lighten up, friend, is aggression and arrogance. The American dream is aggression, a hurried lifestyle. I gotta have it now, even if I can't afford it, overextended. And oh, are we ever arrogant? Ego is responsible for a lot more stress in our lives than you and I want to give it credit for. This is what keeps so many on the edge of hell, trying to control everything, rejecting God, doing it all, having it all, trying to be Superman, Superwoman. Why is it that movie is so popular? Pride. That is man's ticket to hell. Jesus says, here's the antidote. Gentleness. Humility. You are not everybody's savior. Don't believe the Messiah complex, the Messiah trap. I've been there. You can't solve your own problems, let alone anybody else's. Am I speaking to anyone? We need Jesus. Those three words are the only thing keeping this world from heaven. I need Jesus. Say it. I need Jesus. You want to know real life? It's total dependence upon God. You want to know real peace? It's doing the will of the Father. Honestly, my favorite three words are I don't know. Really? And I was having dinner last night with Jerry, and Jerry said that the reason he liked me the first time he met me was because I don't care. I don't know what that means exactly, but I don't know. I don't know, but guess what? Jesus does know. And all you and I do as Christians is point to Jesus. Proverbs 20:24, since the Lord's directing our steps, why try to understand everything that happens along the way? That's gotten me in so much trouble. Leaning on my own understanding. Lighten up. Say it with me. Lighten up. Turn to Jesus. Give up control. Learn to trust. Now I'm going to close with this story. I got to do a story. Simple story song. A family was sitting in a restaurant, and I'm not lying, I'm really closing. I've been in those churches where they're lying, and the pastor gets up there and says, I'm closing. Yeah, whatever, I've been sitting here for 3 hours, you've said you're closing 50 times. You know what, Revelations 21:8 says, Revelations 21:8, 21:8, liars go to hell, liars go to hell, burn, burn, burn. Burn, burn, burn. Right? A family was sitting in a restaurant. The 6-year-old son asked if he could say grace. As the family bowed their heads, he said, God is good. God is great. Thank you for the food. And I would even thank you more if mom gets ice cream for dessert. And liberty and justice for all, amen. This is a smart 6-year-old. Along with the laughter from the other customers nearby, one woman remarked, that's what's wrong with this country. Kids today don't even know how to pray. Asking God for ice cream. Why? I never. Hearing this, that boy burst into tears and asked his daddy, did I do it wrong? Is God mad at me? Did I do it wrong? I've spent too much of my life wondering that. Did I do it wrong? Is God mad at me? As his father held him and assured him that he had done a terrific job and God was certainly not mad at him, an elderly gentleman approached that table and he winked at the little boy and said, I happen to know that God thought that was a great prayer. Really? The boy asked. Cross my heart. Then in a theatrical whisper, he added, indicating to the woman whose remark had started the whole thing, too bad she never asked God for ice cream. A little ice cream is good for the soul sometimes. Naturally, mom bought her kids ice cream at the end of the meal. The boy stared at his for a moment and then did something exemplary. Smiling wildly, he picked up his sundae and without a word, walked over and placed it in front of that woman. I'm not calling you to religion. I'm giving you the greatest invitation you will ever get in your life, a relationship with Jesus. Do you know him? Turn to Jesus. Give up control. Learn to trust. And I love how Eugene Peterson's message paraphrase words what we just talked about. Matthew 11:28-30. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Oh, I love this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Glory, that's good. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Can I ask for a holy moment? Will you bow your head? Will you whisper a prayer? Not out of religious necessity, but from your heart. Maybe pray something like, Dear Jesus, I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of trying to control everything. Jesus, forgive me for turning to other things. Jesus, I come to you.